Good morning and welcome to another edition of This Week in the Pecos Valley. I'm Mike Jackson. Joining us on the program today is Fred Nathan of Think New Mexico. They've been around for more than a decade and they've issued their annual report for 2011-2012.
Well, first off, Fred, I was wondering if you could just give us a brief description of Think New Mexico.
Sure. Think New Mexico is a results-oriented think tank serving New Mexicans, and we're a little bit different than many of those think tanks your listeners may be familiar with. You know, most think tanks are either way, way over on the left or way, way over on the right, and we just believe in a state that's 49th or 50th in too many of these national rankings that we ought to focus on solutions rather than ideology. And consistent with that, we have a board of directors made up of Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. Chairman of the board is former Governor Gary Carruthers, a Republican. We've got a former Democratic Attorney General, Paul Bardicke. We have Ed Lujan, who used to be chairman of the Republican Party in the state, and is from the Lujan family that runs a big statewide insurance company. Roberta Ramo, the first woman president of the American Bar Association, and a lawyer in Albuquerque, is also on the board. So it's a group of statesmen and stateswomen who have no other agenda than to push the state forward, and we're best known for a number of initiatives. Our first one was to make full-day kindergarten accessible to every child in New Mexico. After that, we worked for 3 years to repeal the tax on groceries. We had a successful campaign to reform the lottery and to shrink its bloated operating costs and bureaucracy and to spend more on the deserving high school seniors who are trying to get lottery scholarships and less on the bureaucracy that runs it. We've also worked to introduce free market reforms to title insurance and make it easier for people that are trying to buy a home or refinance a mortgage. So those are some of the things that we've worked on, and that's how our think tank operates.
Well, I know that you all have issued your annual report, and it's a kind of an interesting cover here, and I want to thank you for allowing us to have an advanced copy of this. But basically it says PRC reforms goes to the voters, and what you guys have here is you've got a horse and you've got all sorts of people loading all sorts of things on it that the PRC does. Just kind of curious, number one, what prompted you all to study the PRC, and number two, what prompted you all to issue a report on the PRC?
Okay, well, what prompted it is that the PRC is probably the government agency that has the biggest impact on our lives. And many of your listeners may not be aware of this, but they regulate everything from your telephone bill to your gas bill to your electric bill, every type of insurance, home, auto, health, you name it. They also regulate every type of motor transportation, from taxis to limos to buses to ambulances, moving vans, wreckers. They even regulate the fire marshal. So it's something that's interested us, and the reason that we did a report last fall making a series of recommendations, because the PRC has, you know, been so dysfunctional for such a long time. And as one of my friends said, you know, you really don't need to operate a think tank to know that the PRC needs to be improved. And so we made a number of recommendations addressing how we could professionalize the PRC. And, of course, they've been riddled by scandal. In fact, two of the public regulation commissioners have been forced to resign in the last 2 years for committing felonies. And then we've also worked to streamline the PRC. It is the most powerful state regulatory agency in the country, given the breadth of all that they do, with the fewest qualifications. And your listeners may be interested to know the only requirements to serve on the PRC are that you're at least 18 years of age, you've lived in the state for a year, and you're not a convicted felon, which tripped up two members. But we think that those qualifications should be much higher, given that they're making decisions every day affecting tens of thousands of New Mexicans and decisions that involve tens of millions of dollars. So we got those three constitutional amendments on the ballot after a big fight at the legislature in January. And now we're campaigning to get the voters to approve them in November, and they are constitutional amendments 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, and I think what I'll have you do a little bit later on in the program, maybe have you, talk about the, you don't have to, go into all three of them in great detail, but maybe just kind of give us some bullet points that you'd like
Sure.
people to know about these constitutional amendments. You know, it's interesting, we go back for just a second, something that you said just a little bit ago. You talked about the PRC as being very dysfunctional. I know you highlighted a couple things just a bit ago, but why would you view them as dysfunctional?
Well, just that they are constantly making bad decisions that are being overruled by the courts. There's an excess of political shenanigans, for lack of a better term, in terms of some of the hiring that goes on, and they're constantly in the newspaper. Just this weekend, there's a headline saying ex-PRC insurance worker sues former boss, actually sued the former superintendent of insurance. The Department of Insurance has been really plagued by a lot of problems. Last year, they had 5 different superintendents of insurance in a 4-month period. So that's one example. Another example is the unit that registers corporations that the Albuquerque Journal documented has just been plagued by turmoil. And that's just supposed to be a very ministerial office where they just collect paperwork from every business in the state and not-for-profits, naming things like your agent for service of process if you're going to be sued and your board of directors. And they're just supposed to check it for accuracy, stamp it, and charge you $30. And it's gotten so backlogged now that companies have to pay $300 just for a simple filing to get their paperwork done. And so it just seems like every time we turn around, there's either a PRC member being indicted for a crime or this level of dysfunction that doesn't really serve the state very well and puts us at a disadvantage to other states at a time when we really want to be business-friendly and encourage businesses to start enterprises in our state, and we're making it more difficult for them.
Did also the legal challenges of a former PRC member, Jerome Block Jr., have a lot to do with this?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, Mike, because we had actually started working on this project before Jerome Block Jr. got into all of those legal problems that led to his removal from the PRC. In fact, when our report came out last fall, I think it came out a week after Jerome Block got in all that trouble. And it's funny, some of my friends thought we had just read about that and threw together a report, but it had actually been a year in the workings.
All right. So just a little bit ago, I'd like for you to give us kind of some of the bullet points, if you will, for Amendments 2, 3, and 4. You want to kind of give us the highlights as to what people
Sure.
should look for on the ballot come November?
Sure. And thank you. So Constitutional Amendment 2 would increase the qualifications for PRC members. And the reason this is so important is because PRC members act like quasi-judicial. They're like judges in the sense that their main job is to take very complicated testimony about the rates for electricity and for gas and for telephone, for example, and make determinations applying very complicated statutes. And that's what judges do. And our judges in New Mexico at the Court of Appeals and Supreme Court level have to have not only an undergraduate degree, but a law degree. And we just feel like if this were a job in the private sector, again, making decisions for tens of thousands of New Mexicans and daily making decisions in the millions of dollars, that if you were hiring somebody for a position like that, you would expect really good professional qualifications and educational qualifications. And this is what other states do for their utility regulators. So that's the First Amendment, and it's Constitutional Amendment 2. The next one is Constitutional Amendment 3. And here, this goes to what I was talking about earlier about the corporate reporting function that the PRC does. And interestingly, the Secretary of State also handles part of that job. If you're a LLC for example, you file with the PRC, and that's a limited liability corporation. If you're an LLP, you file with, I believe, the Secretary of State. And what we're saying is, why don't we consolidate this and be more business-friendly and create a one-stop shop so that businesses, whether they're LLPs or LLCs or what have you, that they all file at the same place. And the Secretary of State's office has been much more efficient in their corporate reporting unit than has the PRC, so it makes more sense to consolidate it at the Secretary of State's office. And 41 states do it this way. They have a one-stop shop at their Secretary of State for corporate filing. So that's Constitutional Amendment 3, and we hope your listeners will vote for that as well. And then the final constitutional amendment, which is Constitutional Amendment 4, would simply remove the Department of Insurance out of the PRC. And that would be good both for the Department of Insurance, who supports it, but also for the PRC, because it would pair their jurisdiction back to just becoming utility regulators, which in and of itself is a full-time job without layering on all these other functions like corporate reporting and insurance. And as I said earlier, the Department of Insurance has never really worked right, and part of the reason is you have a single superintendent of insurance who's appointed by five public regulation commissioners who have competing political agendas. And as you might expect, that leads to a lot of turnover. And as I said earlier, we had five superintendents during a four-month period last year. And when that happens, the whole department becomes paralyzed. So we would take it out away from the PRC and make it a more autonomous agency that where the superintendent would then be appointed not by the PRC, but by an independent nominating commission with members, try to drain the politics out of that, where you'd have both Democratic and Republican members on the nominating committee, and the executive and the legislature would appoint members so that it wouldn't be beholden to, political cronyism or what have you. So we think that would just be a better system, and so we'd encourage your listeners to also vote for Constitutional Amendment 4.
Well, Fred, what's next for you guys?
Well, what's next is we're working overtime to make sure that these three constitutional amendments pass. And once that happens, we'll then be going back to the legislature in January to complete the job. So, for example, another thing that needs to be addressed is that since the 1930s, the PRC, the Public Regulation Commission, has been regulating motor transportation. And what that means is they get to decide who enters the marketplace. So if, for example, someone in Artesia wanted to start a taxi business, they wouldn't just start the business as you could in most states. They would have to file with the PRC in Santa Fe for what's called a Certificate of Convenience and Necessity. And under this 1930s law that's still in existence, they would have to notify any potential competitors. And then those competitors could file a lawsuit or a brief against them. And, this has happened in other parts of the state where it's worked against competition. And usually what happens is those people that are trying to get into the business are shut out. And then even if you can get a certificate of convenience and necessity to start a business, like a moving line or a wrecker service, you don't set your price. The PRC sets the price. And we think the market really would be better at deciding who can get market entry and what prices to set. We think that people in Artesia, business people in Artesia, are in a better position to make those decisions than our government bureaucrats in Santa Fe.
Do you ever take a vacation, Fred? Sounds like you're working all the time.
I could use one, but every now and then we take some time off, usually after the legislature finishes meeting and, in the early part of the year, we take some time off, and then we gear up again for the next battle.
Well, Fred Nathan of Thing New Mexico, I want to thank you for taking the time for talking to us on the program today. Any final comments?
No, except except that if, Mike, if your listeners want more information about the PRC or about Think New Mexico, I'd encourage them to visit our website at www.thinknewmexico.org. Thank you very much for having me on your show and for the good questions you asked.
Well, no problem, and we'll look forward to talking to you about a year from now about your annual report for 2012-2013.
Many thanks, Mike.
That'll wrap it up for another edition of the program for this week. We'll talk to you next week right here.